Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Millwall captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Millwall are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is here!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To good deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Tonight, myself and Buster are delighted to welcome along Andrew Patterson. How's it going, mate?
I'm good, thanks. Yourselves, guys?
I'm doing well.
Good, thank you.
Well, we're back for the first time in a couple of weeks after a short break due to illness for myself and just general life getting in the road of the podcast, unfortunately. But in that time, there's been quite a lot happened, it's fair to say. The Betfred League Cup quarter-final went brilliantly, a 3-0 victory over Aberdeen. That was followed by a 1-0 defeat in the league against Aberdeen, and then back to 3-0 winning ways on Saturday against Partick Thistle. Buster, I think we went into the two Aberdeen games thinking it was going to be a very big ask to win both of the games. It was possibly a big ask to win one of the games, so first and foremost, that was a fantastic result and one of the most memorable nights in recent times at Fir Park.
It was a wee bit of a throwback to, the winning ways that we were used to a couple of years ago, to be fair. I thought we called it absolutely perfectly, the way we played. Aberdeen were absolutely honking, I thought, to be honest with you. Especially their goalkeeper. Just before the first one, I was about to actually turn around and say, I think it was J or Joe McKelvey, I was about to turn and say to him, that guy's a good goalkeeper, he looks alright. And then he threw, he got a hand to Louis Moult's flick effort and towards the goal, but the second one as well he was absolutely honking for as well. But fair play to Aberdeen, as you says, they came back a couple of days later. They've obviously did their homework in between and basically put a stop to us and won 1-1-0 in one of the most turgid games you'll ever see, I think.
Yeah, we'll talk about the league game in just a minute, Andy, but a wee bit more on the cup game. It was a night in front of the television cameras, as was the league game, I suppose, but Louis Moult, a player that we were debating the podcast a wee bit earlier on the season, whether he was maybe had lost that wee bit of spark, that bit of momentum. We then talked after the Hibs game and how clear it was that he had rediscovered that form. He really put on a show on the night. The first goal was an audacious effort. Yes, the goalkeeper was at fault and shouldn't have conceded it. The third goal in Moult's second of the night was absolutely superb. It was a great long ball, but the way he got onto it and hammered it home into the far corner was nothing short of absolute quality.
Yeah, it was a tremendous night. Kind of had a feeling beforehand that was building up into something. You sometimes get those wee sensations that this is going to be a good night. And it really kind of felt like that building up to the Aberdeen Cup tie. We've obviously had a lot of good results against them over the last maybe 7-8 years that culminated with the day up there where we finished second. But in terms of cup competitions, the rather annoyingly, always seem to manage to eke out the win against us, and we had a lot of misfortune in games, and you think you like, I think it was a last minute equaliser up there in the Scottish Cup 1 year, with the League Cup game where we went out to them with 10 men, we were with a goal that night that could have stood. We've had missed penalties in Scottish Cup ties against them, and I think it was another game where McCall got sent to the stand, and there was a goal there that was questionable, if I remember rightly. There was definitely a feeling beforehand that Aberdeen were due something from us, and the team most certainly delivered that night. It was fantastic. Kind of put me in mind of one of the games we played against, I think it was Dundee United, neighbour Scottish Cup holders, and we came back to Fir Park for the replay. I think it was 3-0 we told them that night as well, and it was as comprehensive a victory as you could hope to have. And the fact that, you know, it's all conquering Aberdeen, who, you know, their supporters, as we know, have got a very, very high opinion of themselves. It was just really, really enjoyable. There were a lot of tremendous performances throughout the team, and as you've already mentioned, maybe this is, it's hard to look past Louis Moult. It's been a factor of his 3 years with us that you mentioned how it was an audacious effort, and that's actually the norm for him. When you think of some of the goals that he scored, you know, for us over that time, it's far from just like one-on-ones or headers, you know, from ball straight into the box. He has that ability to come up with something a wee bit special, and always, you know, we certainly benefited from it that particular evening. And I think one of the best things of the lot was actually after the game, when he was being interviewed by BT Sport. I mean, for others, a memorable interview that put a lump in your throat. I mean, that was it. I mean, that was just fantastic, listening to the kind of passion, the kind of the interaction between him and the supporters after the game. And that was just a fantastic interview after it, and it really put the seal on a brilliant night for us.
Yeah, that's it, Buster. There's no point in getting into the what's and what nots in terms of Louis Moult's future at the football club. That interview just emphasised how dedicated he is, though. Absolutely devoted to the cause. It was a great performance, but then soaking up and revelling and achieving a semi-final, something that we've not been able to do since reaching the Scottish Cup final in 2011. It's been far too long without cup success, and it was clear how much it meant to not just Louis Moult, but the fans and everybody else in the pitch and the management team. A very significant victory, and hopefully a step forward in beginning to right the wrongs of some of the recent cup disappointments, of which there have been quite a fair number, it must be said.
Yeah, our record in the cup's obviously not been great since we last got to the Scottish Cup final there, but it's always something that the fans have always been passionate about. They've always turned out well in the third round or the fourth round or whatever. We always get a good, if it's a good away day, you always get a good 2,000 or 3,000 people going over to wherever it is, or you know, basically if it's, I think there's 3,000 or 4,000 there went to actually, that's, I'm making that figure up, sorry, but even you know, these sort of cup days are what we love for, because I think, to be honest with you, we're never going to win the league again. It happened once way back in the 30s. It's never going to happen again for us, especially with the way, you know, it's a business now. It's a money making business. It'll never happen. So you'd think that we'd want to win something. It'd be, you know, either this wee Diddy Cup, as they call it, until you get to the semis or the final. Nobody cares about it until you get to the business end of it, or the Scottish Cup. So it's, you know, it's good to see that we're actually on a wee up on this time as well, because as I say, it's just been a while since we've had a cup run.
And Andy, the reward for the victory over Aberdeen is a semi-final at Hampden, obviously. The draw is Celtic against Hibs, ourselves, we take on Rangers on the Sunday. I think, looking at the draw, there wasn't going to be an easy fixture in there. Rangers, though, a team that certainly haven't hit the heights their deluded supporters expected them to reach so far this season. It's a game, given we're in very good form, very, very positive frame of mind. We say it so many times when we come up against them, but this is a real opportunity to reach a final.
Yeah, I kind of, to
refer back to that Louis Holt interview again. I wasn't really bothered who we were getting in the semi-final. It was just good to get there in the first place. Since we are drawing against them, I agree with what you're saying. There's not anything there that we've seen since they come back up to the, you know, the top flight for the first division or championship that has been startling in any of the games where we've played against them. We've never been miles away. We certainly weren't miles away from getting a point against them in the opening day this season. And I think we've come on since then. I don't know if you can say the same about Rangers. They have some decent results along the way, but there's obviously a wee bit of internal strife here, going by some reports. I think we have it within us. Good to see that we were able to get so up for that Aberdeen Cup game, and I've no reason to doubt that we'll be able to do the same. We can revert back to some of the kind of previous episodes of the podcast where we've talked about the character of the team, how it's been a large part of Robinson's recruitment policy. So I don't see us going there and freezing as we perhaps did in the Scottish Cup final against Celtic, one or two other kind of higher profile games. So I've no reason to think that we're not going to go there totally up for it. And I'm fairly confident we have it within us to give them a game at the very, very least. So no fear going against them that day, that's for sure.
Bastard, it perhaps wasn't a surprise, but it certainly was a talking point. The ticket prices set at the cheapest adult price, £25 for an adult, going up to £35. Yes, I know it's a domestic cup semi-final. Slightly disappointing for me in the sense I don't really see us attracting many floating fans, if you will. I think it'll be very much our core support. You would maybe reckon 4,000 to 5,000 supporters on an occasion where we're going to be largely outnumbered. And yes, I know that the fans can't win a game single-handedly, but it will certainly give Rangers a lift to have such a large majority of Hampden Park for the game. Maybe at the beck and call of the other teams in the semi-finals, but still seems quite steep for a game that's out with season tickets and amongst all the other league games, particularly as we start to go into the festive months and a run of fixtures where we're going to have a lot of games away from home.
I understand the point that you're making, but I don't think it's that bad, to be honest with you. Obviously, if you pay for a £35 ticket, there's a bit of a hike there, but considering it's like, what, £23 or whatever it was to get in there at McDermott Park earlier in the season, you know, it's £25 for a National Cup competition semi-final isn't that bad, I don't think. You know, your points about maybe not attracting many floaters or, you know, being outnumbered by Rangers fans, that's what happens, but I don't think the prices are that bad, to be honest with you. And again, as I say, I take into consideration all the points you've made about us having a wee run of away games. You know, and as you say, it's around about that time where you're starting to buy your Christmas presents and things like that. But I just don't actually think the prices are that bad.
And maybe it's a wee bit of a kind of bugbear because it's almost a... There's a sense of defeatism amongst football fans that this is now going to be the norm, and this... I don't think we can really argue that football is overpriced. Have we now just kind of come to this acceptance with it and come to terms with the fact that if you're going to be... In fact, let's be honest, any league game where we don't pay under £20 when we visit any away stadium, I saw it's £22 for Accies. I know this is a more significant fixture, but it's possibly leaving a lot of football fans now in the position where they have to pick and choose their games, and it's quite unfortunate for a team that can't really sustain a large support for a variety of reasons. It makes it very difficult.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You've got different perspectives on it. You're going to have your supporters who I think only naturally are going to look for the best value for money that they can possibly get. And you know, I don't think it was a coincidence that we had a good turnout when the prices for the Aberdeen game and some of the League Cup games were kind of well priced. When you see the difference between what you're paying for the Aberdeen Cup game and then 4 days later, it's almost like £8 or £9 of difference, depending upon what part of the ground you're going in. So, you know, there's the argument there that, surely if we can find a more optimum price level for one competition, we should be able to do the same for all of them. The flip side to that is that we obviously, as football clubs, have budgets that we are, commitments, financial commitments that they have to take care of, player contracts and all the rest of it, and they're going to a large extent, going to be dependent upon the income that we bring in, and a fair proportion of that is obviously going to come in through gate receipts. So whilst the best will of the world, you would want the entry price to be as kind of cheap as we could possibly make it, there is the danger that by doing so, you boost the kind of crowds slightly, but you lose out overall in the longer term, and it affects your kind of playing staff over time if there's less money coming in. So it's a very difficult one for clubs to kind of how they pitch it to get the balance quite right. It's a never ending argument. It's going to be in terms of the semi final costs. Put in perspective with some of the kind of entry fees at Hampden for fixtures there. I mean, I think we're looking at if you want to take the kind of Slovakia game that's coming up later on this week, I think you're looking at for behind the goals where we're going to be, I think from memory it's something like £30.
Yeah, it's going to be there. A £30 ticket for the East Stand, I'm pretty sure it is on Thursday night.
So you can look at it that regard, and that's another argument itself. I mean, you know, you're sitting in the same seat for one fixture as you are. There's nothing different. Obviously, it's the quality of the football. Arguably, there's going to be different in the park, but you've got the same environment that you're going to be sitting in, whether that's Motherwell versus Queen's Park at Hampden, or whether that's Motherwell Rangers in the semi-final at Hampden potentially, and you've got a vast difference in the kind of ticket price. So I've sympathy with the clubs, and a little sympathy in terms of how they pitch it with the kind of authorities over the piece. This particular one, I don't think it's massively out with the range that it should be. Again, you kind of go back to like Aberdeen coming to us. I think what was it, 23 we charged for away fans coming. So I don't think we can make too many grumbles in this instance, you know, when it's only like a couple of pound dearer and what we're asking teams to pay when they come to Fir Park, and what we're expected to pay certain grounds elsewhere in the country.
While we're not able to grumble about the ticket prices in that case, we certainly can grumble about how negative and cynical the Aberdeen side that came to Fir Park 3 days after their absolute drubbing and basically demonstrated a lot more fight, but just spoiling the game throughout. It was a very, very ugly way to win. I suppose at times, Buster, we're going to need to come face to face with that and do it ourselves, because for all, I wouldn't say we're a dirty team. We had 5 players booked in the first game. We had accusations from pansies like Ryan Christie claiming that we were bullying Aberdeen. I don't know whether that was more a dig at his own teammates or a wee bit of a dig at our physical style, but we certainly weren't able to match up with Aberdeen's more cynical and physical style when the teams met in the league.
No, you know, as I touched on it earlier, it was an awful game. Aberdeen made it that way, and as I said at the time as well, you know, fair play to Aberdeen, they knew what they had to do and they come out and done it, but it was horrible to watch. It was it was one of the worst goals you'll ever see as well. Scrappy, you know, everything about the football game in itself was basically terrible. I didn't even see Ryan Christie coming out and saying those sort of things, because Ryan Christie is, from what I've seen there in the two showings, he's one of the weirdest, dirtiest football players I've ever seen. His tackle in that first game was absolutely shocking. How he didn't get sent off, I don't know. But, you know, as I say, fair play to Aberdeen. They learned a lesson for Thursday. You know, we gave them a spanking. They had to then come back with something different, and they decided they were going to be a bit more physical. You know, they've got the size of their defenders, and you know, they've got the physical side of things, the physicality for that sort of type of game. So, fair play to them. They, you know, as I say, they come and they done it. But it's maybe a lesson that we need to learn, that if teams are going to be like that, we have to learn to deal with that, and as you say, either match up or work around it.
And the criticism of Stephen Robinson in this podcast over the last couple of months has been very, very limited, to say the least, whether there's been any at all, actually. But I was a wee bit disappointed to see the team revert back to the kind of long ball tactics to try and produce some results after weeks of demonstrating how good a footballing side we were. It just kind of almost seemed like a bit of desperation. Alex Fisher got quite a bit of criticism for his 30-minute cameo in that game. Most of the game he was spent straining his neck, looking over his head as the ball flew over the top of him time and time again. We need to show a wee bit more imagination, and fair play to Robinson, because he got it completely right again on Saturday there against Thistle, showing that the team can bounce back and lessons are learned. But I think in occasions where we are losing games, we quite often resort to these long ball tactics, and more often than not, it doesn't really work very well.
It was disappointing to lose, but we can still take a lot from that game if we learn from the kind of things that you've mentioned there. Touching a wee bit more on the actual game itself, Aberdeen were very clever in how they reacted to the defeat. I mean, the ultimate irony was the player that puts in the dirtiest, nastiest challenge in the League Cup game has the audacity to come out and talk about Motherwell inferring that they were bullying Aberdeen players. Now, I don't think that was a coincidence. It was totally deliberate, and the way that the referee handled the game, it was pretty obvious that their comments after the game had got into his head, because he almost was allowing Aberdeen to do challenges to compensate for the perception that we were going to be going in hard, that we were going to be aggressive. And I think if you look at Considine, it's only after about the fifth or sixth challenge, aerial challenge that he makes, that he doesn't actually lead with his elbows. And that was the kind of norm throughout the whole of that game. And Aberdeen were very clever in what they did. They also learned quickly how to kind of try and negate us going forward, and they did quite well with that, simply through weight of numbers. And in terms of your substitutions, I don't think he got it miles wrong. The timing or the kind of personnel. Fisher has still to really kind of turn on for us since his arrival at the club, but there has certainly been two or three occasions where he's come off the bench to good effect. He's definitely a willing player, very energetic, so at that point where we were looking tired, I think bringing him on, bringing his energy to the game wasn't the worst thing we could have done. But you're quite correct in that what we did do is we almost reverted, and it was almost like a kind of mirror image of Ryan Bowman coming off the bench this time last year. A player who needs a wee bit of confidence just to get things going, and continually just like fired the ball at him and didn't really make use of what he can deliver. A wee bit of sympathy for Fisher in that regard, but I'm happy to give the team benefit of the doubt in that one. We are still very, very early in our development as a team. When you think, I was taking a wee look at some of the stats, and I think, what was it, 14 games or something in this season, and you think someone like Kiprey is only 14 professional games. So things like that, you've got, you know, the defence is still learning. You know, we still got new players in there that are developing. We've still got different options in the midfield that are coming together. The partnership with Bowman and Moult is still something that's quite early on in its kind of evolution as well. So I'd like to think that with the players that we've got, and more so the coaching staff that we've got now, that we can actually learn from that. I was intrigued to see how Partick were going to deal with us on Saturday. I'm without getting too far ahead, because I'm sure you'll come on to that game. We actually kind of stopped them having the opportunity to replicate what Aberdeen did to us, because I fully expected them to have taken note of how Aberdeen reacted to the Sunday, reacted to the Thursday evening game against us on the Sunday. Yeah. I fully expected Thistle to come and copy that, but fortunately we scored early, we had the initiative, and they never got the opportunity to do that. But that's a lesson we'll see if it's been learned further on in the season.
Well, you kind of took us on quite nicely to the Thistle game, and we could stop reflecting on a defeat and move on to what was another emphatic and impressive victory. Peter Hartley getting on the score sheet early did really boost us, and we went on to dominate the first half without managing to add a second. Craig Tanner did manage to add a second early on in the second half, and Ryan Bowman, with a superb piece of finishing, closed it out at 3-0. Buster, I know that quite a lot of the chat after the game was how poor Thistle were, but it was a very dominant and a very, very impressive performance from ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think that part of the reason that Thistle were probably so poor was because we were a lot better than them, basically. If you look at the stats from the game, we heavily pumped them, basically. I didn't realise how bad it was for them. I know they were rubbish, and I could obviously tell they were rubbish at the game, but when I had a look at the stats and the reports and things like that online the next day, I didn't realise how awful they actually were. I was probably guilty of focusing too much on how good we were. But it was great to see us come back for a defeat. And like Andy says, I expected Partick Thistle to pick up on that physical performance that Aberdeen put in, and for them to go similar as well. And also, after going back to the League Cup again, I expect Rangers to do the exact same, to be honest with you, in the semi-final. After watching them against Hamilton, and they were quite physical there as well, so I expect them to do the same against us, as Aberdeen did there. But back to the actual game we're talking about, it was great to see Ryan Bowman get a go as well. I think Ryan Bowman's been absolutely fantastic. When Bowman plays, we play, basically. I think that I can't even mind who I was talking to, but somebody said to me, when Ryan Bowman plays, our full front line plays, and I think that's right. I think Ryan Bowman's a bit of an unsung hero this season, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think there's so many standouts just now. It is kind of, perhaps there are guys being overlooked. A guy that certainly isn't being overlooked, called up into the Scotland under-21 squad, Andy, is Alan Campbell, who, a guy we've talked about before, wasn't even an 18 for a couple of the Betfred games, is given his opportunity, and he's grabbed it with both hands. The boy doesn't look like he's ever going to look back. He's improving every game he plays in. Run through a brick wall for the cause. It's brilliant to watch, and for me it was another man of the match performance from Campbell on Saturday.
Yeah, it's definitely been one of the highlights of the campaign so far, his emergence. It was quite interesting. I can't remember where it was I read it, but it was an interview with Faddy, and he was remarking on him and about how he made the kind of, I don't know if it was his first start, certainly one of his earliest starts with us in the Aki's game in Hugman A last year, and he had a fantastic game that day, and there was a lot of people taken aback about as to why he kind of disappeared up until Robinson reintroduced him towards the tail end of the season. And it was interesting that Faddy was saying it was for his own kind of development, they didn't want to throw him in just too soon. whether we've benefited from that whenever he's emerged this time, where he's of a mindset that he's simply not prepared to give up that shirt now that he's got it, I think it reflects well on Robinson. Not only for kind of having the faith in him towards the end of last season to chuck an 18-year-old, 19-year-old laddie into the centre of the midfield whenever you're in the midst of a relegation battle, but whenever he's made all these signings to give him the opportunity and to reward him by keeping his place when it's fully merited, despite some of his signings being on the bench, I mean, that's a credit to him also, but he's fantastic to watch in full flow. He's got a wonderful tackling ability. Not a dirty player by any manner of means, but really aggressive, really committed, and his technique of actually winning a tackle is just fantastic to watch. It's a dangerous thing, tackling. We see how easy that it is for, you know, mistimed challenges, how they can, the repercussions are red cards if the interpretation of the challenge of the referee isn't how we would see it, or how they're guided by, you know, the kind of legislators. So to have someone that's got that ability to be able to do challenges like that and get them to perfection is a wonderful asset for our team. But it's more than just the tackling ability. As you say, he's developing week on week, supporting the front players. He was very unlucky not to score. There was a shot that looked net bound from our kind of perspective in the Hunter stand, that, you know, a stray leg appeared to come from nowhere whenever it was en route to goal. He's passing, you know, he's involved more, so he's more than simply just a ball winner, and our midfield has definitely benefited from it. So it's going to be good to see his progress on Friday evening. I think it's on BT, if I remember rightly, so there's an opportunity there for us to watch at close quarters, and hopefully he and Cads will be able to link up and do for the kind of under-21s as they have been for us. But, you know, two quality midfielders, two young, excellent midfielders in our team, I mean, that's definitely to our benefit.
Yeah, but Stephen Robinson had said that he wouldn't throw academy players in if he didn't believe they were good enough. He didn't expect to see a raft of young guys coming through, and we've already seen that with players who there's a bit of expectation on, guys like David Turnbull, for instance, who perhaps is just not quite in the eyes of the coaching staff right or up to the pace just yet, but it seems to be very close. Campbell is one that Stephen Robinson perhaps held back, has now given him his chance, and it's worked. So the kind of attitude of making sure these guys are ready to come in and make an impact has worked very well for Robinson.
Yeah, and you know, as you say, there's no point in throwing them in if they're not ready. I think David Turnbull was only about 17 or something as well. So you know, I think it was Flo who said that he was probably the closest, you know, closest to coming through again when he was speaking to ourselves. But I'm not 100% sure, but I think David Turnbull's pretty, basically very young. And you know, as you say, it's great to see that Alan Campbell is actually putting his foot down and taking that position there, because I think if you ask MD in the stands, they're going to say, you know, Alan Campbell is maybe the first one that they'd put in that midfield. You know, as you say, you've got some basically four or five people in there fighting for these positions, two or three of them new signings. So it's good to see that he's actually, you know, taking the bull by the horns, basically, and made it his own.
Well, go on and we'll have a look at our next Scottish Premiership fixture. As we say plenty of times, we don't tend to record after an international break. It's quite hard to preview a game a couple of weeks away, but we'll give it a wee bash anyway. Andy, for me, this is an ideal fixture. You're looking ahead, and the League Cup semi-final will be looming large, but a fixture at Hamilton tend to bring a very healthy travelling support. local derby. There's no opportunity for the players to switch off here. It's two big games in quick succession. It's what you surely want as players. It's definitely what you want as fans. I think this is the ideal preparation. Maybe putting aside the shitty plastic park, but apart from that, I would say this is one of the kind of the pick fixtures for going into such a significant game the week after.
Yeah, it's a fair wee bit to consider. There's positives and negatives of it. It's frustrating when the international breaks come around, but you always want to go into them on the back of a win, because you don't really want to be sitting festering for 2 weeks waiting for the opportunity to get back on the park and kind of right wrongs if things haven't gone well with your fixture beforehand. The other side of that is that you don't want to lose any momentum through the international break, but by all accounts, it's come at a good time for us. There was obviously a whole lot of effort being put in to recover games. The two-goal deficit at Easter Road, for example, the effort that was put in against Aberdeen in the League Cup game, and we looked a wee bit leg-weary in parts in the corresponding league fixture. Saturday there, it was dominant start to finish and put a lot of effort in there. And if there's one or two that have niggles, then it's a good opportunity for them to recover, a wee bit of recovery time for the rest of the team, because we are putting in a whole lot of effort. We can see that the team are definitely more stronger, more fitter, more resilient going towards the end of games. So the break in that regard won't do them any harm. We've got the incentive, of course, that we've got the semi-final coming up, as you mentioned, and with the options that we do have at our disposal, then nobody can really rest on their laurels. If they want to be included in that squad, then they're going to have to be turning it on, you know, if they're given the opportunity. And no better place to do that than a derby game in the lead up to the semi-final. We're on a really good run against them, which is really pleasing considering how awful it was, both at New Douglas Park and in general against them for quite a number of games since they came back up. So it's really good to kind of have that, and obviously we look to continue it. We go there with fond memories. The last couple of fixtures in particular, the injury time equaliser was brilliant. You know, the 10 men, and of course Louis getting the all important goal in the vital relegation clash. So we go there again, no fears, and it's significant that there was never the fact that we were playing on a plastic surface was never an issue for Robinson. It's never been an issue. We've won at Kilmarnock, we've won at Hamilton. If memory serves me rightly, we won at Edinburgh City as well. So there's three.
Just.
I know. That surface doesn't have the freakish effect that it can do if you're looking for excuses going into these games. You know, there's no psychological effect there. We know we can win on that surface, however bad it may be. And you know, we'll hopefully take a good crowd and continue the momentum. So it's one to certainly look forward to. Quite where they're at, I'm not 100%. They seem to have a decent start to the season, but they seem to be a very streaky team. Aki's where they can get a few good results in succession, and then they can go for some time without doing particularly well. Their manager seems to be one of these guys. He's a bit of a survivor. When you think what's happened this week with the likes of McCullough going and McIntyre at Ross County, there have been certainly several occasions where Aki's form has replicated or been worse than those teams. And whilst there isn't the same expectation level at Hamilton as there will be at those two teams, he's certainly kind of ridden through storms like that. So quite where they're at, I'm not 100% sure, but I would like to think with the endeavour being as it should be, the fact it's a local derby, they seem clued up on that, and the fact that Louis Moult seems to stick him, and pretty much every time he plays against them, means we can go there in very confident frame of mind, I would say.
Buster, it's maybe a negative mindset here, But I look at the table and see teams like Thistle, Kilmarnock, to a certain extent, Aki's, Ross County, struggling in the initial stages of the season. We've managed to build up a healthy gap away from these teams. Given how the last couple of seasons have went, that's quite significant, I reckon, just having that wee bit of security. Yes, we're by no means at the point of the season, what, 8-9 games in, where we can say we're definitely not going to be involved in a struggle at the bottom, but it certainly doesn't look like that's going to be the case at the moment. And this is another chance to build up another 3 points on a team that you would expect to see struggling at the bottom of the league.
Yeah, I think that if you take into consideration the last 2 or 3 years, it's only natural to be looking over your shoulder, I suppose. You know, even I think Ross County and Hamilton, I think they've got 7 or 8 points, so it's, you know, they're not too far behind us, but I think there's 10 points between us and whoever's bottom. I don't know if it's Partick or Kelly, sorry, but I think there's 10 points between us. So it's a good wee gap to have built up there. It's, as you said, it's far too early to think that, you know, we're definitely safe and we're not going to be in any sort of trouble there. But I think if you look at the way we're playing and how it's going, I think we probably should be okay. But I don't think there's any harm in, you know, keeping an eye on the situation and making sure that we don't end up down there. But, you know, it's got to be, you say, one game at a time. I don't suppose that the team ever go into any game, no matter who it's against, thinking, oh, we won't win this. You have to go into these games thinking, you know, we're going to win these games, even if it's against, you know, like the Celtics of the world, you know. I think Ian Barakoff sort of made a point in that when he was appointed manager. And, you know what the papers are like, they ran with it saying he's going to win the league because they're going to win every game, basically, or something. But as you say, it's good to get, we've got a good chance to get another couple of points ahead of Hamilton. I really hate Plastic Parks, no matter where it is, whether it's Kelly or Hamilton. But Hamilton's appears to be absolutely shocking. It's made no difference really in the last couple of games. I don't know how the players themselves would feel about it, but it's something I particularly, I've got a wee bugbear about. But you know, as Andy says as well, there's a pretty good feeling about our games at New Douglas Park recently, especially seeing as how it's, you know, they were so shite beforehand. You know, last minute equaliser, you know, it felt like a win at the time. Then, as you say, last May or March or whatever it was when we played them, you know, we won 1-0, and it's good to go into these games with a positive feeling about, even, you know, that going to that place. So I'm looking forward to the game, and I think, as you say, it'll be a good chance for us to get another couple of points on the board.
Just about there for this week. I suppose it would be relevant not to mention Ryan Murn moving on from the club at the end of last week. Ryan was on the podcast a couple of occasions and perhaps a bit of a divisive character among some of the support, but it'd be a mess of us to not wish Ryan all the best and whatever he goes on to do in the future, and I'm sure that goes for Jay and Busta and everybody that listens as well. There's also the Well Society share issue, which Jay would be able to elaborate on a lot more than certainly me and Busta could do. I don't know whether Andy's maybe got a wee bit more knowledge, but I think we'll possibly leave that one for Jay's return following the Aki's game. So the last thing to do, I suppose, Andy, is wish you thanks for your time as always, and we'll do it again very soon.
No problem at all. Always a pleasure.
Busta, thanks very much, mate.
No bother, thank you.
You've been listening to the MSC podcast. We'll be back 2 weeks today following the Hamilton Aki's game. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
up. Insecurity is rife. I'm not the idle person to be lecturing on life, but if you wanna know some things I've learned about myself, being in sticky situations, I won't bore you with the filth. Breaking bones and sniffing gear, pouring blood and sweat and tears. In a nutshell, I suppose that's the way the water flows. Yeah, that's the way the story goes. Sometimes, well, alright, maybe all of the time. I'm on a false ego trip. Well, I'm a renegade of sorts. I roam the concrete jungle hunting idiots for sport. And now the cocaine scene, it picked me up and made me frown. There's a joke, he says the music helps the medicine go down. Hey, it makes you feel alive, more like demons of the night. Putting powder up your nose, that's the way the water flows. Yeah, that's the way the story goes. Sometimes, just sometimes. Now the world outside don't look the same for you and me. Drinking cider in the golf course, just a distant memory. Down the park and pick a fight, popping pills all through the night. Fucking waster, I suppose, that's the way the water flows.